escape would be 07-1401, Millennium Lumber Company, in the United States.
May it please the court, I'm Joel Junker, appearing on behalf of Repellent and Millennium Lumber Distribution Company Limited. I'd like to address the court's questions, of course. I'd like to point out some points about some of the authority the court relied on that was not really discussed thoroughly in the briefs, and emphasize a few points of our brief in connection with the three issues before the court. First issue, of course, is whether the court erred in granting summary judgment for classification under 4407 as simple dimensional lumber, when there are genuine issues in material fact about whether that class or kind of merchandise required recutting. The second issue is whether summary judgment lies for classification under 4418 because the merchandise is in fact classifiable as meeting the requirements for builders, joinery, or carpentry. And finally, the third issue is if the merchandise is not sufficiently advanced to fall under 4418, does it nevertheless have parts and functions that give it an essential character other than simple dimensional lumber in 4407 so as to be classified under heading 4421?
If the Court of National Trade was correct that additional cutting was required, then I gather you would not challenge the decision. You assume that there were no disputed issue of fact.
Challenge the decision on 4407?
Yeah.
We,
what I'm trying to get at is I did a little research to sort of try to figure out what, this is not a completed truss. I mean, it's not one that's all put together and just comes off the truck and is ready to go into the door. So it's going to be a part of a truss if it falls in the classification that you seek to put it. So it looks to me like it's got to be, the part has to be the top cord, not the bottom cord.
That's correct, Jerry.
Because the bottom cord would require another angle.
Well, the evidence in the record shows that the particular merchandise that was imported is recognizable as a use for use in the top cord, not in the bottom cord. With respect to the 4407 class,
that's the issue, whether it's recognizable or not.
To a truss professional at the time of importation.
To a person.
Couldn't be recognized as something else.
That's correct.
So the burden given Rollerblade and the burden on your side was to prove that no reasonable fact finder could find that this 2x4 with a 90 cut on one end and an angle cut on the other could have been used for something other than a top cord truss bar.
That's correct, Your Honor. And if you look closely at the court's analysis to reach that conclusion, it really
The burden is for you to be able to show that no person would find it could have been used for something else.
In part, that's our burden.
And it could easily be used for a whole lot of other things, right?
You could use it
as a support if you're building a wall and just use the angle cut to lean up against something. You could cut the angle cut off. There are lots of things you could do with a 5 foot or 10 foot 2x4. It's 90 degree cut on one and an angular cut on the other.
You know, what could be done after importation is beyond the control of the importer. The importer really can only classify or can only produce something and classify it according to its condition at time of importation, which is why the court rejected
it. How was it sold in the marketplace?
It was ordered by truss manufacturers on a purchase order with the specifications labeled as truss components and offered as truss components, manufactured by a company that creates trusses. There's no question commercially that the truss manufacturer who bought these saw them and specified them as truss components to be used in trusses. They, in fact, under the requirements of customs at time of entry, were required to certify that the end use would be, without recutting the angle, in trusses.
Do you agree that they had to cut 10% of the time?
No, Your Honor. Mr. Runyon's affidavit indicated that for reasons other than the nature of the goods, the time that the condition as a truss component, it was recut. But
I'm referring to the customs note that said 90% of the time it didn't need to be cut.
That's correct, Your Honor. Customs own evidence.
If we relied on that, would you win?
I think that
if
shows 10%
you. 10% is the only cut off of the cutoffs. Yeah. Would that be enough for you to say that they're significantly advanced enough to be recognized as a trust.
It's sort of like the laxative commercial when we're talking about prunes. Six enough is 12 too many. I think what we need to keep in mind is that the court found that recutting was required for the merchandise as a class or kind of merchandise, for classification as a class or kind of merchandise. And consequently, we submitted that there is any evidence showing that, in fact, these elements did not have to be recut, and in fact, were used in their condition of importing, then it's simply not the case that they required, as a class, recutting. We have customs' own evidence of that. We have affidavits.
That's the 90% figure you're saying?
They use them. Of the millennium customers they visited, there was, I think, 10%, 50%, 100%, and then Mr. Runyon's affidavit said 90. Of the trust manufacturers they visited, where they said 100% had to be recut, none of those were millennium customers. So we think that, and that evidence from the Runyon affidavit and from the certificates were either under oath or subject to penalty for false statements to customs. In contrast, the court's case relied entirely on the government's expert opinion, which we submit, if one reviews the deposition carefully, is filled with false, incorrect assumptions of fact. He had no knowledge of how recutting a trust manufacturer was done in the southwest United States, where the great majority of these went, where recutting is not required for use in gutters and the like, because they have no gutters in Arizona, particularly in the construction. And finally, he was unable to explain. I think the opinion of the expert is definitely colorable, because he was unable, as customs in its brief, to explain the white elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Why the shrinkage and swelling require recutting of truss components shipped individually, but when you put those individually wrapped truss components with a kit, customs finds those sufficiently advanced to be classified under 4418.
It's a time snapshot, isn't it? This is the interesting point to me, is at the point of importation, someone is supposed to observe these articles, whether they're individually or whether they're shrink wrapped in a big package or whatever. So that's, I don't know who that observer is. Someone's supposed to look at this and say, well, is this product too far developed? It's being brought so close to a truss part that it couldn't be viewed as cut lumber. I mean, it's lumber with a cut on it, right?
It's more than that.
It is recognizable for certain.
2 points in response, Your Honor. First of all, I asked the expert that. I said, what is a person supposed to see? And
isn't that burden on you under Roseley to put on some testimony from somebody from your side and say, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles that no reasonable person could understand this piece of cut lumber to be anything other than a truss?
The evidence of record, Your Honor, shows that.
You didn't put that testimony on.
It was in the record that we had.
That type of testimony I didn't see on your behalf in the record.
The record shows that at the time
nobody can truthfully give that testimony, right?
The record at time of importation shows that the entry documents, which include invoices, identify them as trust components, and the specification of the trust manufacturer.
You take a 5 foot, 2x4 square cut on both ends and label it a truss part because it's going to be a splicing. You can have an absolute square cut on both ends piece of lumber.
That would not be recognized.
And you can put it in a package and call it a truss part.
Yeah, the absence of an angle cut, Your Honor, would indicate to anybody looking at time of entry.
But your argument here is that one of the reasons why this stuff qualifies is because it can be used in a splice.
That's because of the square end cut can be spliced. That's the point of the square end.
So two square end points can also be spliced.
But that would not be a truss component in the top component. That would probably be a web.
Mr. Junker, didn't your brief kind of show us what's going on here? It says that due to the price differential between truss components and other kinds of lumber, people often import truss components and use them for other purposes because they're cheaper under the Canada Softwood Act. Canada Softwood Lumber Agreement. It's on page 18 of your brief.
Customs documents suggested.
How do you get around the point that people do import trusses and use them otherwise because they're cheaper to import as a truss and then use otherwise.
The recutting, if in fact it was done, is indicated because of artificial economic distortions in price. That recutting has nothing to do with the condition of the goods at time of importation. And the recognizability is a structural, is a component for structural purpose.
In fact, you would probably say to us that's even more evidence that it was a truss, because that's why they were getting it at the cheaper price.
The irony of this case, Your Honor, and I think the reason we're standing before here because of Customs Enforcement, is they were concerned with potential abuse of items coming in as legitimate truss components and then being used for standard lumber because of price distortions or a more advanced
product. Then why aren't they correct to impose the higher duty if they're going to actually be imported as trusses and used for something else?
Your Honor, we can only respond. You have to look at the immense amount of evidence that this was only ordered by truss components. It wasn't ordered by lumber yards or truss manufacturers. It wasn't ordered by lumber yards or anything like that. It was ordered for truss use according to their truss specifications. We have evidence that they provided certificates that that's what we're going to use for. And we have the customs notes and the affidavit of a person who was a customer saying it was. One cannot control entirely what one does with the goods, especially in these types of products. I want to return to Judge Clevenger's question about the cut, because I think an important thing to look at in the analysis of the court's opinion is when they were looking whether this is mere material or an unfinished product, the court only focused on the cut. And it's important to bear in mind that there are several indicia of this item as a truss component that were all present and all required before shipment. You have not only the cut, which of course is a great deal towards essential character, but the species of the wood, the grade. You couldn't just have any grade. It had to be a high grade of lumber. It had to be machine stress grade, MSR, which means it has tensile strength. It is low grade.
Those factors also can be true for just regular old cut wood.
It can also be true, and is true, it must be required for rafters, roof struts, and beams, which are listed in the ENs as specified examples of items falling under 4418. There really is no structural difference. I think the court, when it found that it has to be advanced more, didn't fully appreciate that we're dealing with lumber that's been recut and has different applications. There's different types of lumber. There's only so much you can do to it. You can do the angle cuts, but it has to have all these engineering values.
You're going to be your rebuttal now. Do you want to say
that? I will take 40 more seconds if I may, Your Honor. One of the things I wanted to flag to the court is that the court, in deciding whether or not it was an unfinished part falling under 4418 or mere material, she cited the case of Lee Enterprises versus the United States. And Lee Enterprises was cited for the proposition that to qualify as unfinished part, it has to be identifiable. Excuse me, I just want to find my notes on that case. And commercially fit and dedicated to the use, and incapable of being something else. And if you look at the facts of that case, it's actually instructive, because they actually helped Millennium. This is a case when the goods came in, they were subsequently cut and trimmed. And when they came in, they were not designed, they were printing press plates, metal plates, trimmed and cut whole. And they were not designated to a specific purpose. And the court found they were unfinished parts because what was done to them subsequently was not substantial manufacturing processes. So those are really the situation in our case. So we submit that the facts of that case actually helped us. Let me just close my opening statement with talking about 4421. 4421 fits these circumstances where something, there's clearly evidence it's more than just dimension lumber. In fact, it can't be graded. Once it's cut with an angle, it cannot be graded, as the record shows, as dimensional lumber. It's clearly something more. If the court finds that it doesn't reach the level of being 4418, where its parts or function place it somewhere in between, it's clear that 4421 is the appropriate one. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll reserve another minute.
May it please the court. Your Honors, this product falls within 4407. 4407 is an EO nominee provision. It's nothing to do with class or kind. It's mere definition. Wood sawn or chipped lengthwise, sliced or peeled, whether or not plank, standard, or finger jointed, of a thickness exceeding 6 millimeters. Undisputed facts show that Millennium's lumber falls within that definition.
It's ordered, it's used, it's everything in the marketplace designated as a truss. Why isn't it so classified?
Well, to take each point, Your Honor, ordered, when it's ordered, it is those dimensions, the angle, those even foot lengths, they are not specified by the customer. In fact, what it is that these things, and if you look at the Billows deposition, which is in the record, at A112, which says the customers order the product not knowing what specific truss it's going into. If you look at page A117, the software used to produce any sort of designs for these components, those are hypothetical. Those are not something that the customer has produced and then orders something, orders a piece, and that piece is supposed to go into that specific thing.
Are you really worried that this is going to be an abused provision? Are you worried that people are going to order trusses because it's cheaper wood and they use it in other ways?
Am I worried?
Is that why it's getting classified this way?
Well, Your Honor, it has to...
Because it's ordered as a truss, it's marketed as a truss, it's shipped as a truss, received as a truss. Why isn't it a truss?
Well, Your Honor, if I may clarify, it is not ordered as a truss. It's not even ordered as a specific piece, which is what I'm trying to get at. No customer is saying, I need this angle at this length. These boards come in even foot lengths with a superficial cut at one end. Everything else tells you.
It's not a superficial cut. It's a precise cut at various angles between whatever the degrees were that were standing by.
It's mainly a 76 cut angle. And there's nothing to show that it fits into anything in particular. It doesn't show that that is recognizable as a part when it comes in, part of a truss when it comes in across the border. It does not show that. And it's sold to truss manufacturers. Truss manufacturers can also buy 2x4s, 2x6s, regular 4407 wood, put the cut on their own. As you correctly observed, Your Honor, those pieces cannot be bottom cords. Those pieces cannot be webs. Those pieces can only be top cords with square cuts at the ends.
Your own attorney's notes said that 90% of the time this can be put right into a truss. It doesn't have to be recut at all. Now, assuming that this is the customs officer who's looking for recuts as evidence of the classification he hopes to make, 90% still leaves you with a pretty overwhelming impression that this is a truss that is assembled as a truss without recutting.
Well, first of all, that only addresses the angle cut end. It doesn't address the square cut end. Those notes, when everybody was going there to look in Arizona, we were only looking at the angle. It's like if you look also, it's like at all the evidence in the appendix, if you look at Mr. Runyon's affidavit, he says that he uses everything except for 10% of the time. If you go to the second paragraph, paragraph 9 on that same page, it also says
you're
that...
You're saying that testimony or that statement is that 90% related to the angle cuts.
Correct.
Because of the fact that it's got an angle on it, 90% of the time you can probably slap it up there and you'll be satisfied with whatever the angle is from the roof.
That's what the notes...
But that didn't address the question of whether or not the square end needed to be sawed.
Correct. It doesn't address the square end. It also addresses only one of those manufacturers.
But this is summary judgment. Here we are debating the facts as to which end is under examination and how much is it, 90% or 95%, and was it ordered or wasn't it ordered? All these are facts, facts, facts. This is summary judgment. Can you really sustain it with so much factual discussion going on right here as we speak?
Yes, Your Honor. And the reason is because the facts which establish that it's correctly classified under 4407 are undisputed. We know that it's sawn wood. We know that it comes in standard even foot lengths. We know from the explanatory notes that you do not have to have a square cut at both ends. We know all those. We know that the thickness is more than 6 millimeters. Absolutely.
Aren't you really simply saying, as the summary judgment point, that because of the rotor blade, because of the way summary judgment works on classification cases, the burden is really on the plaintiff here to disprove your assertion that the classification is correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And to do so, they'd have to have an affidavit of somebody who says, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles that this stuff is recognizable only as a trespass.
Yes, Your Honor, because we have the presumption of correctness in the 28 U.S.C. 2638.
So, assuming that that's all so, please identify for me something that would pass muster as a truss part at the point of importation. I'm not talking about a whole truss. I'm talking about just give me in words what piece of lumber could qualify as a truss part.
Well, Your Honor, it's difficult to do that only because every case is different and has to, it's a particularized case. But if we were to talk in general with customs guidelines and the headquarters ruling and everything that was cited,
say, for example, if it were the lower part, if it were angled both ends?
If there was a specific design drawing, certified truss drawing, that shows that this particular piece that comes in, particular angle cut ends that fit right into that drawing, if that would be evidence, and that also that it would not be further cut upon importation, that it would fit right into that truss. I think those things might be something that customs would consider to be an actual recognizable part of the truss. The thing here also, Your Honor, which I'd like to point out, is that Millennium offers...
Shrink wrap package of parts, including the metal pieces that are used to join the things up. And in that package could be a 5-foot square cut on both ends, 2x4, that was going to be used for splicing, right? They would pass as a part.
It would not pass as a part if you're just importing, as Millennium did, a whole bunch of the same types of parts, because it's not recognizable. It doesn't show that it's recognizable. Splicing is not something that's commonly done, all the time. It's not something that you cross the border with that piece. It's, that's definitely used for splicing. What makes it recognizable as such? There's nothing there. And it's the same thing with Millennium's lumber. They import lots and lots of the same type of lumber. 10 feet, one angle, square cut on one end, and that's it. They're not pieces of anything. They're not pieces of a truss. They're wood. It's 4407 wood. And anyone can use it as anything. Just because it's possible to be used in a truss doesn't mean that's not possible to be used as something else. It could be used anywhere.
We do have a lot of customer certificates that say, not only do we recognize this as a truss, that's what we use it for, 100%. Why isn't that exactly the evidence that Judge Clevenger is referring to?
Because
somebody looks at it, not only do they recognize it, that's what they do with it.
Because, Your Honor, those end-use statements, if you look carefully at the wording, it addresses, again, only the angle-cut side. It never says that it's not reshaped or altered or cut on the square-cut end. So while it may be true that they might use the angle, does not mean that they use that piece of wood as is, in its condition as imported, that is recognizable as a piece of a truss. That's what it shows. So if you look at what Millennium is arguing, Millennium points to all of these things as factors, as being things that take it out of classification 4407. But Millennium has not offered us anything that show what exactly is the attribute or the recognizable part that would make it classifiable under 4418. Just because it's not 4407 doesn't mean that it's automatically 4418. Doesn't mean that it's automatically 4421 either.
If they stamp for a truss on the side of it, does that change it?
No, Your Honor, just a label. I don't believe that would do anything to it at all. What makes it just because it's labeled that way?
That's recognizable then.
Well, recognizable.
And if it's, I tend to agree with you. You don't have to stamp a label on it because, in fact, that's the way it's used. That's what they do with it.
But we don't have any evidence to say that that's, in fact, the way it's used as is.
Well, that's, well, now we're back to facts again, aren't we? Because we have a lot of customer certificates that say that's why we order it and that's what we do with it.
Well, if I could, again, try to clarify, it's not simply that the angle side is used or the square cut end is used. It's got to be the whole thing. As you know, we have to consider the product as a whole.
What about our line of cases that says that proof of use is not sufficient to establish that something is sufficiently finalized? Isn't there a body of law that tells us that the actual proof of use isn't really relevant?
Well, Your Honor, then we're talking about a different provision. Here we have eo nomine, and use is a factor when you're determining the identity of something, just as all these other factors are. But it's not an actual use provision. It doesn't say if it's actually used as X, then it must be X. That's not what this provision says. This provision says that it must be builder's carpentry and joinery. And then the explanatory notes tell us that it can be as recognizable unassembled pieces, e.g. prepared with tenons, mortises, dovetails, or other similar joints. And then it says that carpentry refers to woodwork, such as beams, rafters, and roof struts. Those beams, rafters, and roof struts are not, as Mr. Junker was trying to suggest, the same as what we have here, because you still need to have prepared with tenons, mortises, dovetails, or other similar joints. There's got to be something else about it. It's not simply, you know, a big piece of wood that's used as a beam or rafter. You can cut it. There's got to be something else to it in order to fall within 4418. So it's not no. So I hope I answered your question, Your Honor. It's not simply use, you know, that we have to look at. Let's see. I think one of the other things that was brought up was cost. The cost of everything it's used because it's cheaper to use it as 4407 lumber, regular lumber, than it is to use as a truss component or anything else. It's like, I think that cuts actually towards argument that it is regular lumber 4407 because that is what the industry recognizes its most useful as, regular lumber. So if it's going to use it as regular lumber, cut it, cut off the angle, and do something to it, and I think actually that supports our argument. And I can't emphasize enough that there are no facts in dispute here. You keep saying, Judge Rader, you talk about facts, 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 facts. These are not material facts to this classification. These facts, look at it, demonstrate that the entire piece is altered. There is something altered about it. As I was saying before, it's one under the other, something is altered. So the Runyon affidavit, the Billows affidavit, A262 to 266, they all indicate that there is some sort of cutting that occurs. Maybe it's not the angle end, it's the square cut end. There's some sort of alteration. The actual use statements only address the angle side, doesn't address the square cut side.
Well, they did say that in southwestern United States, some people prefer to have a square cut on the end of the truss that's sticking out from under the roof line, right?
They did say that, but it doesn't say that that's the way it is all the time. That's not something that's standard industry practice. Dr. Meestein, like, again, we were talking about evidence, like, we actually not only did Millennium failed to meet its burden of proof, but we have affirmative evidence in the form of Dr. Weesby. He's our expert, and he says that square cut ends are uncommon.
For the sake of argument, let's agree that it's not sufficiently advanced to be recognizable. Why not then classify it as other wood?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Let's
Why not the alternative classification as other articles of wood?
There's nothing to indicate that there's any characteristics of Millennium's lumber that would put it into 4421. The way Chapter 44 is organized is that you have least processed wood going the most processed wood. So under 4407, you have regular lumber that can be used as a raw material. Then you have 4418, something that's used for building, and then has some sort of special joinery, some joint or something. It's like 4421, you're going to the other, but it has to be more processed even than 4418. don't have that here. So this, what we do have is regular lumber satisfying the terms of 4407, and it's properly classified as such. Anything else, Robert?
You're saying it has to be more processed than 4418,
yes.
Simply because in the way it lines up in the classifications, you're getting more.
You're getting more processed wood as you go along in the chapter. Yes, that's right. All the characteristics that Mr. Junker has brought up, those are the same characteristics.
Another category would include something like a wood cuckoo clock from Switzerland that's very highly detailed.
In general, that's the way it goes. You have logs. Then you have lumber, and you make things. So yes, sort of it progresses that way. You have logs, lumbers, then you have furniture, stuff like that. So whether or not cuckoo clock in particular is there, I don't know. But that's the general idea, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. will give you a couple minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will talk fast. First of all, counsel argues that 4407 is an EM nominee provision into which our goods are completely described. I would note that the explanatory notes to 4407 exclude items that are builders, joinery, and carpentry under 4418. So the issue is not whether we just qualify for 4407, but whether additionally we qualify with the elements.
If you get into 4418, you can't be in 4407.
That's correct. It's mutually exclusive, Your Honor. And I would point out that with respect to items identified as carpentry under 4418, the examples are beams, roof struts, rafters that are advanced beyond dimensional lumber. And they are advanced, and contrary to what counsel is saying, that all we've shown is an angle. I reiterate, and the court did not analyze.
But you put good emphasis on the fact that these are not packaged together.
They are packaged together.
Package the whole. You don't have a truss package like Judge.
It's shipped. It's shipped as components as individual components, not as a package. That's correct. But going back to whether it's builder's joinery or carpentry, it has not just the angle, which incidentally they were really concerned about in the certificate. Has the angle been recut? That, what does that tell you about what Customs is concerned about, and this being qualified as a truss? But in addition, it had the structural capacity for load-bearing capabilities, engineering values of species, grade, tensile strength, and joints for assembly. That is building carpentry under 4418. She indicated also that cutting occurred on all matters, whether it was square in, and that's simply not what the affidavits and the customs notes said. They were used in their condition, as is in their condition of importation. Once again, there was a fundamental misunderstanding of the requirement for specific design. Customs seems to have this requirement. It has to fit into a specific design to be recognizable as a truss component, while taking the logical position that if it in fact fits in multiple truss designs, it's not. In point of fact, I submit they have it backwards. If a truss component submits in multiple truss designs, it's even more recognizable as a truss component. Thank you, Your Honor.